Hello, and welcome to Everybody A, Everybody Gay,
a queer exploration of Pretty Little Liars.
With your hosts, Beak Pirate, aka Joanna. I'm here, I'm queer, and I have a cat named Spencer.
And your other host, LCO123, aka Vina, a proud member of the Church of Vander Jesus.
And tonight, we are talking Pretty Little Men. They might be pretty, they're not the greatest.
They certainly are not. I mean, we have spent so much time talking about the liars, so much time ragging on the men of PLL, rightfully so, I would say. And it seemed like it was a good time to have an episode just talking about the guys.
Let's do it. It's guy talk tonight. We are hoping to answer the eternal question of which man is the worst. Now, I mean, sentimental favorite, Prezra Fitz. You do have to wake up pretty early in the morning to really give him a run. But I mean, this is a show that also features Peter Hastings, Byron Montgomery, like, you know, Ian, there, Lucas, Zach from The Brew. There are a lot of rogues running around Rosewood.
There are. And I think this episode will be fun because I've kind of chosen to focus a little bit more on the primary love interest characters. And I think you have really done an inventory of a lot of the bad men of Rosewood. So we have a lot to discuss. Where should we begin here?
Well, I think it makes sense to start with the love interests. Okay. I know You had some thoughts about, like, the worst moments for each of them, the best moments for them. So I'm interested to maybe start there.
Okay. I think that's a great idea. I mean, this was hard. This is like, you know, when there's a bunch of best actress performances that could be nominated for the Oscar and you have to pare it down to five. For Prezra Fitz, I started when I was first thinking about this, I was thinking about it in terms of moments. And then as I started thinking about it further, I was like, I think it's more about sort of eras for each man, because they often will have sections of storylines where they're just really coming out, you know, as their worst selves. So we've got sort of a combination of some specific moments and some sort of storylines in general. But we'll start with, you know, the man, the myth, the legend, Prezra Fitz. It's like, where do you start with Prezra, right? There's so many that you could go with, but here are a few that I have. Some of us have real problems, Emily.
Oh, that's on my list too.
Oh, good. I mean, just Prezra, you know, speaking to queer Emily and just completely being like, your problems do not matter, little girl. I am the big bad predator man.
I listed like my moments for Toby and Caleb, and then I listed my moments for Prezra. And for all of mine, my Prezra ones are always like, he exists! Exclamation point. Some people have real problems, Emily. So yes, that was like in my, I didn't really rank them, but that was like my number five slot, I think, for Prezra.
Good. Yeah, I didn't really rank mine either. I have, when he used Spencer's drug addiction against
her.
That's
number four!
Oh,
he exists! He steals Spencer's file to turn the liars against her. Okay. I'm going to tell you my next one, and we'll see if it is the next one on your list.
Okay.
Okay, number three. Everybody out there, think about what your third Prezra moment would be. He man-babies Arya's reproductive issues the night before their wedding.
You know what? That one didn't even make my list because there are so many other terrible ones.
There are. But I felt like post-jump, Prezra's terribleness needed representation. So what was your third one?
So again, not really in a particular order, but I'll go with another post-jump one, which is when, this is like kind of immediately post-jump, when the liars think he might have killed Charlotte and he like screams at them all, get out of my apartment now! He's just so deeply unlikable in that moment. So that was my number three.
Now see, that is a terrible moment, I agree, but I feel like his man babiness is like such a continuing theme that I wanted to recognize the man baby tantrum.
I respect that. I completely respect that. What's your number two?
Number two is he exists, exclamation point.
Gotcha.
And he seduces underage Arya for his book.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the crux of it all, right? How I put it is I just put any time he defended Presria to either Arya, to Arya's parents, to Jackie, to anybody who might be saying to him, this is not a good idea, him finding some Weasley way to twist it all around to defend that choice.
And then my number one was like, he exists. He spies on liars for years and secretly dated Allison.
Yes. Yeah. So I have flirting with Allison and whatever other stuff happened that the show wants to retcon. And then this is maybe like a bonus one. I have when he went after Maggie for the fake son.
Oh, yeah. I was going to give honorable mention to how he kept his actual identity secret from Arya for years.
Sure.
And his
sure.
familial wealth. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, we could name 10 more.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, still not run out of things to talk about.
I mean, a prince. An absolute prince.
Oh, a gentleman among gentlemen. Yes.
He has a master's in American literature. Nothing he can't handle.
Some of us have real problems, Emily.
Okay. So tell me about your Caleb list.
Oh, boy. So I think I'm going to start with all of the Uncle Daddy bullshit.
Oh, yeah. That's Caleb the co-parent. Yes. Also on my list.
Yes. Oh, funny. I think we're talking about two different things.
You're right.
I'm talking about the actual Uncle Daddy storyline and how, like, he's terrible to Hannah through that whole storyline. It's just, like, not a good side of Caleb. Yeah.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah. What do you have on there?
Well, I had Caleb the co-parent. Where he becomes like the whole kind of later half of his relationship with Hannah, particularly like, you know, post Dollhouse and like when she's maybe going to get arrested and stuff, where like he seems to be sort of like teaming up with Ashley to parent this like wild, wayward liar that they have on their hands.
Well, you know what's so interesting is one of the things on my list is anytime he goes behind Hannah's back when she asks him not to. And what I realize is that actually goes back to like season one or two. So the seeds of Caleb the co-parent were really there all along.
Yeah. Oh, I have I put it as a separate one, but it goes to both of those points, which is when he tells Ashley about Rollins and AD.
Yes.
Without Hannah's permission, consent, anything.
Absolutely. I have how much of an ass he was after Ravenswood. Hashtag haunted. Hashtag fireflies. Hashtag taking bottled beer alone in the cabin.
Oh, man. Also, I would say when he leaves Hannah in New York, when he just leaves her, takes all of his stuff, leaves his cell phone so she cannot even contact him. Yeah, I would say the manner in which he leaves Hannah is pretty brutal.
I'd agree. I have when he kisses Hannah at the Lost Woods while he is still dating Spencer.
Now, that is interesting. That's obviously not a shining moment for him. But I think worse than that is when he pretends to Spencer that Hannah killed Charlotte. During that little scene that they play out, and also like gaslights Spencer for that whole period of time where he is acting like he doesn't have lingering feelings for Hannah, even though she's practically in his lap and they're holding hands like constantly, and Spencer's looking more and more pained and drinking more and more wine.
That's a dark time period for everybody. Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah. And I'm going to say my number one, Caleb being the worst, I'll say behavior rather than moment because it's ongoing throughout the series. Anytime he just inexplicably starts yelling at or about Mona.
Ooh, yes. My top one was demanding that Hannah kick Mona out.
Same idea at the end.
Yes. Well, the thing that I think is interesting about thinking about these men, and we're going to talk about Toby in a second, but Prezra is, I think, always the same amount of the worst. Like, his worstness is very static. Like, he always is exactly who he is, and we just find out more about it at different times, I think. He's always a man baby. He's always, like, lying for his own self-interest. Mm-hmm. He's always a pedophile. Like, so these are, like, constants. Like, his terribleness is, like, just a line. Caleb, on the other hand, I think if you look at, like, the things that we think are the worst about him, he starts out, like, a pretty good guy, and his terribleness just increases. Like, it's really on an incline as the series goes by, and especially when we get to, like, the post-jump period, it's really rocketing off the charts. Tobey, I feel, on the other hand, he, like, is pretty high, like, in the middle of the series, like when you get to, like, seasons 3, 4, 5, he's, like, real high, and then because he and Spencer are not actively together in the jump, I feel like his terribleness kind of, like, it kind of goes on the decline to the point that when they reunite at the end, it's, like, not the worst thing ever, just because he has not been as bad due to not being in a relationship with her.
Oh, I would agree. I think that post-jump, Toby is by far the most likable of these three men.
Yes.
Yes, you know, but let's focus on what we don't like about Toby. What are some of your bad Toby moments?
Oh, man. Okay. Wow. There are a lot. Okay. Forcing Spencer to lie to everyone when he steals the RV.
Yes. Yep. I have that on there. I said it as him choosing, you know, this pursuit of his mom's, what happened with his mom, over Spencer and the other liars. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you have putting hands on Spencer and not letting her get to her phone?
Yep. I do. I just put it as grabbing Spencer. I also have on here grabbing Emily, which he does around that same time period.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Going along with that theme, I did this one as, like, a twofer. First, I wrote down being a cop, and then I also wrote / beats up Andrew.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I think that also goes under, like, violent temper that goes with, like, the Spencer Emily stuff that you were just talking about.
Interesting. I have another sort of moment from his cop days that's neither of those, but it's all related, right? Which is when he, quote unquote, protects Lorenzo from Allison.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's super terrible. Also pretending to hate Spencer, that's like back in the early season for reasons.
Yep. Yeah. My number one bad Toby moment. I think we're going to have the same, right?
I mean, how could we not? But yes, let's pretending to be dead.
Yes. Faking his own death. I was going to have us count down and say it at the same time, but yes, faking his own death. 1000%, just the emotional torture of his girlfriend is just really so very much.
I mean, she's institutionalized after that happens. Yes. And
and he never really apologizes. Nope.
Honorable mention. I had two honorable mentions.
Ooh, tell me.
But the first was his behavior during the time jump flashback pregnancy scare. Say that 5 times fast. Time jump flashback. Do the hokey pokey, but that would be one honorable mention. And then my second honorable mention would be his completely unsupportive reaction when learning about Spencer's drug addiction.
Ooh, that's a good one. You know what? I'm going to throw in a third honorable mention, which is his whole behavior during the Johnny Garbage Artist saga, like, threatens to arrest Spencer, I think. Yeah, which is all related to him being a cop. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How about, so I have three best moments for each boyfriend, and you might see I'm using the word best a bit generously, but do you have any best boyfriend moments?
You know, I do. And when I was thinking about like how you had said you wanted to structure this, and I thought I just had to come up with one best moment. And then I saw there were three and I was like, three? Five? Oh my goodness. What a gauntlet you've thrown down. But I bet we're going to, this one is going to be on yours for Caleb. Caleb on the stairs.
Yep. Sitting on the stairs with Hannah. Yep.
Yep. Yep. That's on there. Being with her, like, you know, yep. she's not alone. So I would say Caleb being on the stairs. I would also say Caleb, stealing whatever car part he stole from Ella's car so that she wouldn't go to the art open, like that whole thing.
Yep.
I would also say that that was a good moment for him. And then I would also say when he and Spencer are hooking up and they have the sex scene on the couch where he's clearly about to go down on her.
Yes. Yeah. I have the moment right before that they start kissing when he's like comforting her about whether or not they may or may not have stolen Sarah Harvey's hands. And Spencer's very upset. And he's basically like, you know, this isn't your fault. You're fine. You're good. Because, you know, he's being very supportive in that moment. I also have the scene when this is very early in the series when he is leaving town to go see his mom and he comes over to Hannah's house and they kiss and they say, I love you for the first time. I think that's a very sweet, like early Caleb moment. And then I have one sort of honorable mention, which is also an early Caleb moment, which is in the Control A episode when he's arrested and Hannah is like trying to, you know, hack into his computer. And his password was like their first date or their first time having sex or something like that. It's just very cute. And I like that it's the rare opportunity where Hannah gets to save him for a change.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a nice one.
Yeah. How about Toby? What do you have for Toby?
Okay. So probably like, I think that Toby peaks early, the Scrabble game where he wins in the hotel room. That I think is a nice Toby moment. Also, as I discussed, like because everything bad happens and they have been together. And Spencer is so happy about it when he returns, like in the final episode when he comes back at the horse farm, and Spencer is so happy to see him.
Gotcha, gotcha. Do you have anything else for Toby?
I might think of one, but what are yours?
Okay, so I have early Toby kind of helping Emily sort of come to terms with being gay and sort of them bonding over being outcasts / him punching Ben.
Oh, I'll take that.
Okay.
Saving Emily.
Yeah. That scene that was actually kind of right towards the end of the series when Yvonne is in the hospital and he and Spencer have that conversation about leaving town. I think that was a really nice moment for Toby. And then, of course, the gummy bears.
He does give good value.
He does. All right. What do we have for Prezra?
Okay. Let me see. The anxiety manifestation of his arrest.
Yes. That's on mine too. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a top one. And then also when he gets the crap beat out of him in the jailhouse rock imagination sequence.
Very nice.
Like that also. And then the only like actual moment that is him and isn't like somebody imagining him is when he stands up to Nick McCullers when he comes to school to like tear into the school / Emily.
Gotcha. Yeah, so I chose to go with ones where he's being terrible, but it's satisfying. Really, it's any time the show frames him as terrible that I'm into. His reveal as A, what we think at the time is A, because it just felt so right. And then, of course, the chickpeas. The reveal that he had, in fact, a can of chickpeas all along.
Classic.
And also I had him getting arrested in Arya's dream.
Yes. Oh man. So like having run through these delightful lists of the best and worst of these bros, like what are your thoughts about, you know, like A is really all about trying to control the liars, treating the liars like dolls. Like, how do we feel like that interacts with kind of the patriarchy of Rosewood and the like paternalism of these love interests?
Well, it's really interesting because it's sort of like sometimes it feels like the show is in on the joke a little bit. You know, sometimes it feels like the show is knowingly doing the commentary. You know, I think about like a lot of the scenes between Arya and Ezra, when we, the audience, believe that he's A, and, you know, they're talking about sometimes the villains win, and there is that one episode where there's that song playing in the background of one of their scenes that says, you know, this isn't control. Like, I think what I always really wanted from the show was for the bad boyfriending to be an intentional commentary on the role of A and the role of the patriarchy. And I think there are moments where there are sort of glimmers of that, but unfortunately what it turns into is just the show sort of validating all of the behavior of these men, even as that behavior continues to be so terrible. And the result of that is that it ends up feeling like the show's not in on the joke. It's not really on the liar's side. It's sort of on the side of the patriarchy, right? It's just sort of a tool of that. And I think, I mean, we'll get to this eventually, but like my take on Prezra, like I do think he's the worst man. And the reason for that is because I think that the show frames his behavior as not dangerous. And I think that's the most dangerous thing of all.
Yeah, I think that it's hard to make a case against that, like, especially because the show really went all in on the romanticism of the Arya Prezra dynamic. You know, like, Haleb gets the, like, quickie courthouse weddings. They don't have to testify, but, like, Prezra's wedding is a storyline that goes on and on and on. You know, ad nauseum, literally.
Yeah. What's your take on this whole idea?
Well, I think that it's one of those things where the boyfriends they kind of operate within the show as a protective framework. Like, we gotta protect these little ladies. And yet they are so bad at it. Like, all of their ideas for how to protect these little ladies are way off base. And the sort of like flaw that all of them have in common, even though they manage to be awful and really different, like they manifest it in really different ways. Like, none of these men have any interest in listening to the women that they are dating. Like, or interacting with them in a meaningful way to say, like, what do you need from me here? And then, like, kind of taking that and working with it.
Yeah, I agree. And it's interesting because, you know, earlier in the show, there's so much this thing of the liars don't tell the boyfriends things, and they, you know, there's just the core of them, and the whole idea is like there are certain things we can't tell them. And so, like, the boyfriends being clueless is actually like that's an intentional function of the storyline, whereas I feel like that gets kind of lost, especially like I never like it when the boyfriends are in on the missions. It doesn't feel right.
And it weakens everything, because then like all that happens is like Caleb is like typing on a computer and saying like nonsense words about what he can or can't find out. Exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't really work. And it also, I don't know. It's just the the boyfriends, like, whenever, like, they're all hanging out as, like, bros together, I'm like, oh, I don't like this. This isn't the show that I want to be watching.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Who are some of the men that you either don't hate or hate the least? And why?
Yeah, for sure. I do have a list of good guys that I like on the show, and I bet that we're going to have some similar ones. Near the top of that list, Mike Montgomery.
Sure.
He dates Mona. He's her beard. He, like, leaves gummy bears in the woods for her, even after all hope seems to be gone. One of the things that I think makes a good male character on the show is they are able to, like, grow and change. And, like, Mike Montgomery mm-hmm. certainly is able to grow and change. Like, he has his own mental health struggles. Really, it's because the actor was on Teen Wolf, but, like, he separates himself from the dysfunction yeah. of Rosewood and the Montgomery family, which is honestly the healthiest choice that any of these people could make. Mm-hmm. So I like Mike quite a lot. I also, I have a soft spot for Jason De Laurentiis.
Yeah.
I think that he respects Spencer and relates to her on a very human level. I think that he does his best to, like, be a better man in recovery, be a better brother to Allison. I like Jason. I like Jason a lot. And then I'm also going to, like, name a few guys who are all sort of, like, Arya adjacent, but Liam, who calls mm-hmm. Prezra a predator correctly. Noel, who I know that he's supposed to be a baddie in the end, but he also calls Prezra a predator correctly. Yeah. Very early on. And then I'm gonna say, good old Holden. Wedding chef, Fight Club member extraordinaire.
Yeah, no, I think that that's a great list. I really feel like the men that I like on this show, they treat the liars as full human beings, and as a result of it, they end up feeling more like full human beings. Because
what a great point.
They're not just existing to, like, oppose the liars or, like, flatter the liars. You know, like, they're not just existing in relationship to the liars. So that's why I think, Jason and Mike are probably my two favorites. I think that they also, like, are characters, within the liars' family systems. And so they get to have this kind of different perspective on each of the liars' families. One of the things with Mike, too, is, like, he fucking hates Prezra, and I love that about him. And he doesn't have the weird hero worship of Byron that Arya has. Like, he has a really different perspective, much in the same way that Jason has a very different perspective on both of his families than any of his sisters do. And I think that both of those characters end up providing really interesting, like, reflections and kind of deflections of the liars.
Oh yeah. I 100,000% agree with that. And also that, like, when we look at Mike and Jason, like, they exist in these same fucked up family dynamics, and they have, like, the same kind of challenge that the liars do
yeah.
of trying to figure out, like, how to exist within that.
Yeah, and it was kind of making me think about, like, why do we tend to prefer these non-love interest characters? And I think that because they don't take something away from the liars in the ways that the boyfriends often do, or in the ways that the boyfriends often sort of interrupt the liar bond.
Well, and, okay, here's the thing. You're saying, like, these non-love interest men, I mean, Mike is a previous love interest of Hannah's, and sure. he's, like, a love interest of Mona during the course of the show, as is, Jason is, like, a love interest of Arya, but that's not all they are.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. They don't just exist as these sort of foil love interest characters.
And they have relationships with, like Mike has a relationship with Arya. He has a relationship yes. with Mona. He has a relationship in the past with Hannah. Like, Jason has a relationship with Spencer that's very important. Mm-hmm. He has a relationship with Arya that's important. So, like, yeah, they all kind of extend outward beyond just, like, the love interest angle. And, like, Toby did have that a little bit with his relationship with Emily, which was really, like, the kind of good point of Toby. But then it lapsed. The writers forgot about it.
It did. Exactly. And I mean, then there are like some of the second tier love interests, like you mentioned some of them, like Liam and Noel. And I do think that there's always something interesting when a character that's not one of the main boyfriends comes in, because they almost feel like drop-ins from like the real world a little bit more, you know? And so I do think that that's often like a fun perspective. Of course, then you also get characters like, you know, like Johnny Garbage Artist or like and his guitar. So there's some bad ones in there too.
Yes. Well, so this kind of leads us, like, when we're talking about the guys who aren't love interests, and particularly like talking about Mike Montgomery, like, I think that one of your topics was sort of the queer men, like the underground queer men of Rosewood. So like, what are some of your thoughts about that?
Oh my goodness. I think that there is, you know, some other show that is about these queer men of Rosewood. You know, the ones that I name are like, obviously Sean, Holden, Mike Montgomery, and Noel Kahn. There are probably, you know, you could probably make the case for others, but I think that there was an opportunity to bring a little bit more depth to the show, and also just populate the show with more queer characters, so Emily wasn't just like floating by herself on Little Queer Island. I mean, one of the storylines that I always wanted was Mike realizing that he was gay and Emily kind of helping him out of the closet.
Oh, yes. Wouldn't that have been incredible? But yeah, so I think it's funny that like on our list of like dudes that we like on the show, we have several who could be like boyfriends of Mike at different points, because first of all, Noel, the Noel Mike thing that Arya gets so upset about, I mean, that definitely seems to have undertones of like a relationship. Noel also seems to be, you know, it really seems like Sean does not want to have sex with Hannah because he and Noel are like already taking care of each other in that department. So, you know, Noel has like two boyfriends on the show. And then also like Mike, you know, we talked about like Holden being this old family friend who, you know, has some involvement with the Montgomerys. So, you know, certainly we could maybe see a Holden Mike connection. And also there's that whole like Jason is gonna take Mike under his wing. He finds him breaking into the garage and doesn't call the police. Like they play basketball together all shirtless in the park. Like, so yeah, there are definitely some, you know, some potential Mike boyfriends on this list.
It's true. And I don't know why they didn't just go there with any, particularly Holden. Like, he's so queer-coded in so many ways, and so I just don't understand the choices they made. Another character we should mention, Lucas, I think has moments very queer-coded, particularly like his kind of dual interest in Hannah and Caleb often felt very much like, you know, like we've made the joke, like he just wants to stand in the corner and masturbate watching them make out with each other and switching back and forth, imagining he's Hannah and then imagining he's Caleb and then imagining he's Hannah again. I think that maybe it's just a symptom of the show, maybe not really caring a ton about those guys, or honestly just like the queerness of the show getting dampened the longer that it went on. But I wish that they would have gone there and maybe explored something there. Although probably, you know, they would have revealed that Mike was gay and then two episodes later have revealed that he was A and then killed him. So maybe I wish that.
So I think that there are a couple of different things going on. I think that there are, like, there's the queer-codedness of these kind of secondary men that's, like, definitely, like, implied but never stated, which is such a weird choice, especially with Holden post-jump. Like, when he's in, you know, where he's in a two fields that are like kind of queer coded. He's a chef, and also he's working this wedding business with his sister. He like constantly is trying to get Arya to pick like blush and bashful as her colors. So, you know, like, it just, yeah, it's a head scratcher why they just don't do that. And why they couldn't have had Mike come out, like, you know, just like, even to just have it be like a one-off line of dialogue. We get all this clunky, like, oh, you're working as a paralegal while you're in law school and, you know, your mom's off. Like, we get so much of that. Like, I don't know why we couldn't have gotten like a line about Mike and his boyfriend. You know, the show just doesn't even want to do that. But so there are these like peripheral male characters where that's kind of a thing. And then I feel like we also have like Lucas starts to kind of cross over into the queerness of some of the main guys on the show, including like the fishing, not fishing bro duo of Caleb and Toby. So like what's going on there? Like what's going on with the Lucas Caleb? What's going on with the Caleb Toby? Like, what does that all mean?
Your guess is as good as mine. I don't know. I mean, it is also interesting that those things are happening at a time when the straight ships are being given this sort of horrible end game. You know, it's like, we're giving you the end game, but in the worst way imaginable. And there's sort of these almost implications of like, but what if there were these other storylines happening? I mean, then you also have like the queerness of Alex Drake that we talked a lot about. So I don't know if it's just the writers trying to sort of sneak things in at the edges. I don't know if it's just genuine, you know, people just not being aware of what's kind of being floated out there. You know, I do think like it's worth noting, like Tyler Blackburn is a queer man and that it's I do think that sometimes, you know, some of that maybe comes into his performance as Caleb. But I just don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah. It's super interesting. I almost think, and this is like, I hate even saying this because this is one of my least favorite things about the show, but I feel like particularly when it comes to Toby and Spencer and also to a degree, Hannah and Caleb, there's this sense that less, especially Toby Spencer, like, does Spencer deserve this man? Like, yes. You know, can she, this like fallen woman, can she prove herself worthy of this good man's love?
Yeah.
And to a lesser extent, I feel like that is also in play with like the post-jump Hannah Caleb. Like,
sure,
you know, because he still doesn't really take her seriously, like he still, you know, has a lot of trust issues with her, everything like that. So it's almost like, but the liars don't deserve them, but maybe, just maybe, the two of them deserve each other. Who is worthy of a sainted man but another sainted man?
Yeah, I could definitely see that. There's also sort of this element of like, well, we're going into the woods and touching each other's penises. I mean, fishing to, you know, deal with the grief of our terrible, terrible girlfriends, you know. And I think that's even present in like the weird way that Toby, you know, was protecting Lorenzo from Allison, which also seemed kind of gay at the time. You know, like there's this thing of like, we got to watch out for each other because bitches be crazy, man. You know,
well, yeah, and Caleb is staying in Toby's cabin.
Yes,
when he comes back from Ravenswood. Yes. Like,
yeah, it's all there. It's all there. So switching gears a little bit, can we talk about the Pretty Little Dads?
Oh, of course we can. Would love to talk about the Pretty Little Dads.
So, why are they the worst? Why are the Pretty Little Dads the worst?
Oh man. Okay. Well, when we talk about men that we like, we do have to accept Wayne Fields, by and large, from this list. I mean, is he a fantastic dad? He's mostly absent, but he is not causing active harm in the way that our other bad dads are.
Sure.
So, I mean, when we talk about the bad dads, we have Byron Montgomery.
Yes.
professor who sleeps with his students. Where have we heard that before?
Yeah.
I have a deja vu. I can't quite but figure out. So we have him who, when caught having an affair, enlists his young daughter to be his like co-conspirator, because if Arya tells Ella, she'll just be hurting her mother.
Exactly. Great dadding there. Great dadding.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Plus the adultification, like the treating Arya like she is the third adult in their marriage. Also having custody of both children and then leaving Arya to just raise Mike as a single mom while he is constantly away, you know, wherever he's going.
He's always like in Syracuse and Arya's perpetually starting the salad.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So we've got good old
Byron.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Byron.
Right.
He's also just, oh, go ahead.
Who like moves his mistress in, and then it turns out she's so mentally unstable that she's trying to poison Arya with the drugged tea.
Yeah. Byron, who's also just like, he's just like an unpleasant person. Like, he's just like a person where I'm like, I would hate to be at a dinner party with this man. He's going to like, you know, like explain Faulkner to me and then like, you know, flirt with the wait staff or something. Like, he's just going
to
be.
Oh, you know, he's horrible to wait staff.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. No, he is. He's a bad tipper. He's got bad tipper written all over him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just terrible. He's awful to Ella. He, like, treats Arya so terribly when he finds out about the whole Prezra thing. He had that whole moment in the finale where he says to Prezra, like, hey, man, you're great. You're great, brother. So glad you're marrying my daughter.
Remember when he wanted Arya to not wear short skirts anymore?
Yep. Yep. Yes, yep. I do.
Yeah. So, Byron. Then we have Tom Merrin, just like absolute narcissistic bastard, who like continually fucks around with Ashley, who like does not support them, like won't send Hannah to college on his dime, like throws that whole new step family at Hannah, with no warning at all. Oh, man. Yeah, he's super terrible also.
Just the way that he reacts when they were during the whole Wilden trial, you know, just the way that he reacts to Ashley, the way that he treats Hannah, and the whole kind of like there, I just feel like there is so much a story within him and his mother of like, I can just picture Regina Merrin being like, I don't know what happened. You know, I don't know what happened to this boy of mine.
Yeah, I totally agree. So Tom also the worst, but I will say like his absence is like it's sort of the best thing he can do is to not be around, because when he's around he is like a demon of chaos. But we have then we have Ken, of course, Ken De Laurentiis, who wanted Charlotte to be locked away in an institution due to her being trans, who, you know, like hates Jason, who loathes Jason and wants to like actively punish him all the time, even though like divorce exists. He could have just left Jessica.
Yeah. 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 No, he can't do that. He'd rather just stay home and torture his family.
Mm-hmm. Who is like super controlling, who makes Jessica miserable, who like Allison is like, you know, at different times seemingly afraid of. And who like, I mean, I really put a lot of like Allison's you know, internalized biphobia like at the feet of Ken, who is like such a dick to Hannah, who is a child.
Yes. You gave her hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think didn't you call him like a bald eagle, like a angry eagle at one point?
The Muppet. Yeah. He's yes. Like the eagle Muppet.
Yes. Yeah, America, absolutely. Yeah. 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 God, what a, and then Peter Hastings.
Peter Hastings, father of like infinite secret children, husband that his own wife could not like admit to the family that she was like suffering from breast cancer and yep. like needed a fairly serious surgery.
Yeah.
You know, tried to murder one of his mistresses and accidentally yeah. murdered the other.
Don't you hate when that happens? Yeah.
You know, man who Jessica or who Veronica described his willpower in terms of, well, he was out at a restaurant and someone he thought was Jessica walked in.
What was he to do? What was he to do?
What a prince who watched Jason grow up next door. In a not great situation and took no actions. And let's remember who knew about Mary Drake, but never brought up any of that when the girls were trapped in the dollhouse.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not to mention, like, just being an absent father who pits his children against one another, who, like, instills all the sort of worst values in them. I mean, all of that. I will say, of all of the dads on the show, I find Peter Hastings the most entertaining as a character. I enjoy watching him the most. I think he's the most interesting. Whereas, like, a character like Byron, or I'll even say Wayne, I'm just kind of like, okay, like they don't interest me quite in the same way.
I mean, Peter Hastings is like, he's interesting to watch in the way that like a disaster is interesting to watch. Like,
yes,
you know, like,
yes,
he's interesting to watch, and like it's unpredictable. Like, you never really know. He's a functional alcoholic. You know, when he's sort of like threatening Spencer, she doesn't let him go for the bottle of scotch. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much going on beneath that iceberg, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely agree. So that actually, like, talking about the dads, and also like, I think a lot of this too is like the way the awfulness of the dads shapes the bad boyfriend dynamics that the Liars are willing to put up with.
100%.
You know, because we see like particularly, I mean, I think it plays out most prominently in like the Byron to Presra pipeline.
It's yeah.
That's super obvious. But you also, like, I think that you see, like, you know, Peter Hastings has this, like, image, you know, this image of, like, this very upstanding citizen in the community. But, like, underneath of it, he's, like, total trash. Just like Toby, like, the show is falling all over itself to say what a good man he is when he's constantly, like, joining the A-team, pretending to be dead, pretending to hate Spencer. And he's like, I mean, I feel like he and Peter are like pretty much even in terms of control.
Yeah. And I think, you know, with Hannah, like, you see somebody like Hannah, just she'll do whatever she can to not have somebody leave her the way that her dad left her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And gosh, what does Caleb do when they're in New York?
Leaves her cruelly, terribly. Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, Emily, we see, like, Emily constantly has one foot out the door the way that Wayne does.
Yeah.
You know, Emily is very much, whether this was intentional because she's the gay one or just sort of how it worked out, Emily, I think, is in a lot of ways more similar to her father than her mother in that way.
Oh, I would totally agree with that. And then I think that you also see, like, Allison, like, looking, like, especially in the early parts of the show and in the flashbacks, like, she's looking for validation from adult men because she's not, like, she doesn't feel love from her dad. And also, like, I feel like Kenneth does such a number on both Allison and Jessica that and Charlotte, like, none of these women really believe that they are deserving of love because of the way that he treats them. And I think that that definitely like echoes through Allison's relationships, like throughout the show.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. Oh yeah. They're a rough crew. Those Pretty Little Dads.
Okay. So in our attempts to determine who is the worst man in all of PLL, I made a bracket challenge that I sent to you earlier. So I'm going to use the dads to like just segue right into it.
Okay.
We have, so entering the arena, we have a not so sweet 16 of the just ruffians that PLL has inflicted upon us.
The suicide squad here. Yeah.
The suicide squad. So our first order of business, who is the worst in the matchup between Peter Hastings and Byron Montgomery?
Oh boy. Like, I feel like intellectually it's probably Peter Hastings, but in my heart it's Byron Montgomery.
Okay, tell me why.
I think that Peter Hastings, like, on paper, he's done worse stuff. He, you know, was involved in a murder, after all. But I think that Byron, I just find him to be a more odious human being in the way that he operates in the world.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
What would you say?
Well, I think that you can, I mean, okay, Peter Hastings is, like, a murderer. However, you know, who knows how that happened? Jessica and Mary playing like switch the poison tea. No one is super sure. But I do think, that Peter, I mean, it's possible he really only loves Spencer as a reflection of himself. But I do think that like he sees Spencer as her own person more than Byron sees Aria as her own person.
I would agree with that.
And also, even though Peter Hastings is an absolute dog, who is like probably also a sex addict in addition to being a functional alcoholic, we do not know that he has ever had sex with someone that he was in an imbalanced power dynamic with. But we do know that about Byron. Also, Peter, like, the way that Byron had Aria like cover up for his lie for such a long time, like that's a super fucked up thing to do. And also let us not forget that Byron was like paying or maybe going to pay blackmail money to Allison, a teenager,
yes,
to prevent his secret from being revealed. And as just a, you know, piece de resistance, let's not forget that Byron drugged Ella to potentially pay the blackmail money. So do we think that Byron takes this over Peter?
I'm gonna give it to Byron. I think, okay, I'm gonna give it to Byron. I'm drafting my own. I pulled yours up and I'm drafting my own so I can play along here as well.
Okay,
so Byron wins round one.
Byron wins that matchup. Okay, this is a little bit more of a low stakes one. We have Andrew, the men's rights activist, who believes that the liars are just the worst, versus sober Dean, who believes that Spencer can kick her addiction by just running further, harder, while, like, being derided. And then who, like, kind of gets into an inappropriate relationship with Spencer.
I'm going to give it to Andrew.
Yeah.
I think that Dean is sketchy, but Andrew's sketchier.
And Andrew is more of a prolonged presence. So I do think we probably want to give that to Andrew. Okay. So taking a look further down, we have cousin Nate, you know, killer of Maya, weird, like, love interest, but not of Emily. And Zach from The Brew, who sexually importunes Hannah while he is, like, on the verge of getting married to Ella, and who we believe had probably done that before because of the way that Ella reacts to that.
These are both terrible men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to give it to Nate for being an actual murderer.
I mean, it's hard to argue against that. And for, like, being around for, like, 1 million out of 13 episodes.
Yes.
From that half season. Okay, so we've got Cousin Nate. Okay, next up, we have another battle of the bad dads. Tom Marin versus Ken DeLaurentiis.
I got to give it to Ken here. Because like you said, Tom at least is absent. Ken is around to, like, ruin his children's lives.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say?
Yeah, oh, I mean, I do believe that, like, there is an argument to be made that Ken is the real villain of the series. So,
okay.
Yeah, 100% in the tank for Ken there.
Okay.
All right, so we've got half of our bracket is done. Moving on to the other side, we have some Hastings sister interests. We have Ian versus Ren.
Okay, so this is very hard because I find Ren to be a more likable presence, but I think when you tally up the terrible things that each man has done, especially including the, you know, last minute reveal of all the Alex Drake stuff, Ren probably comes out on top of having done more terrible things. That being said, if I'm going with my heart, I'm going with Ian. What do you say?
Well, I think it does have to be Ian because Ian tries to kill Spencer.
Yes. I mean, Ren arguably was involved with the rape babies, which is pretty awful.
But, like, we do not know that he was consensually involved with the rape babies.
What an insane sentence that is. Show, I mean, what have you done to us?
I don't think he was, like, consensually turned into an eternity stone, so.
No. You can't say eternity stone. You have to say eternity stone. You have to say it with the accent. Turned his ashes into an eternity stone.
Also, and this is really, like, this is really, like, splitting hairs, but Spencer was older when Ren came on to her than she was when Ian started all that nonsense.
This is true. Yeah.
And like, Ian's involvement with Allison is also, like, super, super sus. So I think Ian does get this one.
And we find Ren a little bit more charming.
Yeah, it's true. And, like, I feel like Ian richly deserves his fate, whereas Ren's fate is, like, does anybody deserve that? Does anybody deserve being that close to Alex Drake for all eternity? I don't think so.
I like that it's not that he was turned into a stone. He had to spend so much time with Alex.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So this was a tough one because I was like, who can we match up that's going to give him a run? But we're going to do it. Prezra Fitz versus Lucas.
Lucas, last name we never know how to pronounce.
Yeah. Goatisman.
Goatisman, Goatsman, something.
Gottmik.
Gottmik. I mean, Prezra has to take the cake here. I do think Lucas has, like, junior Prezra energy a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I am going to give it to Prezra here. What about you?
We have to give it to Prezra. But I do feel like Lucas's shady behavior throughout the series it could give him a run. We have, you know, kissing Hannah when she's asleep in the hospital. We have just his, like, you know, kind of general, like, nice guy facade, but really he's obviously trying to, like, worm his way back into Hannah's life. But I definitely think, like, I mean, For all of the reasons.
My goodness.
Prezra takes that one. Okay. Then we have Caleb versus Tobey.
Oh, man. This is so hard because, like, based on the way I feel having just been through season 7, I would give it to Caleb. But based on, like, the amount of damage done over the course of the series, I think you'd have to give it to Toby, because like he landed Spencer in the mental hospital and then all the business with him being a cop and like being A and all of that. I think I'm going to give it to Toby, but that's a tough one. What about you?
It is a really tough one, but I do think it has to be Toby due to the fact that he's on the A-team, like, constantly.
Yes.
When he's not on the A-team, he's, like, still, yeah, like, Caleb, for all the bad things you can say about him, he never joined the A-team. And I don't think he would, actually, if the choice were presented to him.
Yeah, okay. I think that's accurate.
Okay, so Toby takes that one. And then, oh, look at this. You know, we have a lights and sirens. It's the Rosewood PD, Holbrook versus Wilden.
I'm going to give it to Wilden. I think he does more damage over the course of the series. And I think that there's the implication of worse things that he might have done versus Holbrook, who I think is not a good guy, but I don't know that he would have ultimately done much worse than he got to do.
Wilden like coerces Ashley into like a sexual relationship. So yeah, we're definitely aligned with Wilden being the worst in that matchup. Okay. All right. So now, some easier, some harder. Now we're down to the elite eight of this challenge. So Byron or Andrew?
Byron.
Yeah, Byron, for sure. It's Byron.
Okay. You know what? It's not Andrew, babe. It's Byron, babe.
All right. That was a gimme. Now we have Cousin Nate, an actual murderer, versus Kenneth DeLaurentis.
Jeez. I'm going to give it to Ken. What about you?
I do think we have to give it to Ken. For like Cousin Nate is a murderer, but his actions, even though he kills Maya, like Ken's actions set into motion like the events of like everything that comes after it in the series. So I do think that like for like large scale damage, I do think that Ken takes it.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think that Nate is like clearly somebody who's like dealing with a lot, not that the show is like handling this well, but clearly somebody who's like dealing with a lot of mental illness, mm-hmm. versus Ken, who I think is genuinely just like an asshole.
And like Cousin Nate does not survive. Like the show punishes Cousin Nate.
Yes. Yeah.
In a way that the show does not punish Ken.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I agree.
Ken. All right. So now we have Ian versus Prezra.
Battle of the Predators. Gotta give it to my man Prezra. I think.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard to beat Prezra there. Okay. So we've
got Prezra. You're right. Like, whether the guy gets punished in the show does kind of impact how I feel about it. Cause it's like, well, Ian dies. So it's like, he kind of already got his, you know?
Yeah. Whereas like Prezra and Byron and Ken, like they flourish like, you know, the Green Bay tree. So yes, Prezra takes that. And then, so death might be a differentiator here too. Popo versus Popo, round two, Toby versus Wilden.
You know, I'm going to give it to Wilden, I think, because I do think he does more large-scale damage. What would you say?
Oh, I think that this is a tough one. But, yes, I think that Wilden does probably more damage overall to like everybody in the town, and he and Toby are kind of similar in that they become a cop because they want like that power.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So we've got the we've set up a situation where we've got kind of the the bad dad's side versus the predator side. Yeah. We're back to the bad dads. We've got Byron or Ken.
I think Ken, because I think Ken is more of a bigot than Byron. Mm. What would you say?
I think that they are very, very close. I think that Byron involves his children in his bad behavior in a way that Ken doesn't, but Ken is a huge transphobe. So we're gonna go for Ken. All right, and then on the other side we have predators who've dated Allison for 1,000, Prezra versus Wilden.
Oh, we got to give it to Prezra, don't we?
We do. So our final matchup, who is the worst man in all of PLL?
My God.
Is it Ken De Laurentiis or is it one Mr. Prezra Fitzgerald?
I feel like we should be playing like do 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 do. I'm going to give it to Prezra and I will tell you why. I do think that Ken, I don't think the show does enough with this, but I do think that Ken is established for the most part as a character we are not supposed to sympathize with. And I think that Prezra is framed as a character that we are supposed to root for and even find to be very romantic. And because of that, I think that Prezra does more damage. And so I think that it is Prezra.
I think that that is correct, especially because when you think about all of the things that Prezra was aware of due to his spying on the liars and all the ways in which he could have helped them, but chose not to out of his own self-interest. I definitely think that there's a strong, strong case for him. Also, we do not actually know of Ken De Laurentiis ever, like, importuning an underage girl. I think that we have now officially, like, through the science of bracketology, concluded, proof positive, that Prezra Fitz is the worst man in the PLL universe. Thank you for playing.
Oh, thank you for hosting. And, you know, listeners, if you want to play along at home, you certainly can. You certainly can. That was great. That was really great. I'd like to just do a speed round of a few storylines that I wish would have happened with various PLL men. This is just sort of first thought, best thought.
Mm-hmm.
I already mentioned the Mike is gay coming out arc of my dreams.
For sure.
I think Prezra starting up with another underage girl post jump and then Arya realizing like, oh, this is a pattern, and then him finally getting arrested for good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Specifically, if, you know, we had kind of plotted out the whole Addison plot that they could have done. I think Jason and Arya being a real couple at some point would have been great. I think Caleb and Mona either making amends and or Caleb directly kind of recognizing and acknowledging Vandermeeren, I think, mm-hmm. would have been very interesting. This I cannot take credit for. This was a Bros Watch PLL2 idea, but it being discovered that Lucas had toilet cams throughout the loft feels right. Toby dying in the car wreck instead of Yvonne. Jason and Spencer getting to have a real talk about addiction. Jason and Allie burning down the De Laurentiis house. And Jason and Allie defending Charlotte to Ken / letting Ken have it for all of the things.
Yeah, I would say Jason murdering Ken would have been would have been something that I would have been super on board with. I would also say the liars choosing to break up with any of these men.
Yeah.
Like, it is shocking the number of times that it's the men who break up with the liars. Arya does, like, try to get out of the Prezra relationship a few times, but it just, he never lets her. She's always so ensnared in his web. Yeah, but so I would say, like, any of the men having to, like, deal with a liar breaking up with them is something that I would have longed to see. Any of the men, like, this is something we've always said we wanted from the show. The men being held accountable, like, yes. whether by their wives, whether by the town, whether by the law, like, it's just, it never comes to pass. So any storyline where they would have faced any type of, like, significant consequences for their action, would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah. No, I think that that's so right. And I think that this bracket is an interesting look at, like, who gets held accountable and who doesn't get held accountable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. One person who I had on this bracket and then I had to remove in order to make room, had to make room for others, but Hackett, I wanted to put him on there because he's an enabler of all of the other, like, bad behavior that goes on in the town, in the way that, like, Holbrook is an enabler of that, in a way that, like, you know, like, the police who don't do anything, and the school that, like, allows Prezzer to come back and teach and puts it on Arya to say whether or not they're still dating. Like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, I would completely agree. I think that that is really true, and I think that it's interesting to think of Hackett and, like, some of these other male characters, even, like, some of the fathers, as just, like, these observers of what the liars were going through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I would be interested in, like I said, the men being held accountable in any real way. The Mike coming out storyline, I'm definitely with you for that. Also maybe the reveal that Caleb and Toby have been involved in a secret relationship.
That would be amazing. A long time.
But also I always was kind of waiting for the reveal of Lucas as, like, worse than he seemed. Like, you were talking about, like, toilet cams in the loft, but, like, I just feel like Lucas's I always have expected Lucas to have, like, an A-layer level shrine of Hannah stuff. Like,
yeah,
100%.
Yeah. You know, a reveal that he made all this money and was, like, an investor in the new NAT club or the new whatever, you know. I think also I'll add, like, more with the NAT club. Like, the reveal maybe that Prezra was running it, or that, mm-hmm. like, the reveal that, like, maybe the whole town was in on it in some way, mm-hmm. or something like that. That felt like a really interesting idea. And I think harkens back to when the show, kind of what we were talking about earlier, like, when the show was more directly about the patriarchy and, like, how the patriarchy impacts young women.
And, yeah, what it's like to grow up with the male gaze, like, literally outside your window. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, ultimately, yes. What do we want? What did we want for the men of PLL, for the Pretty Little Men? We wanted them to be held accountable.
A single time. Would have just been great. So as we, you know, as we kind of maybe wind down a little bit, I will ask a question that goes back to the love interests. And that is, for each of these couples, when should these couples have broken up?
Ooh, great idea. I mean, Prezria never should have gotten together.
Yes, true.
Yes.
Exactly. But I do feel like the permanent breach should definitely have been once she found out that he knew who she was all along, yes. and had yes. been this whole time writing a book about them.
1,000%. I completely agree. I think for Caleb, when he went off to Ravenswood, I think that that was a good time for them to permanently break up. I don't think that they ever really feel very healthy for each other after he comes back.
I think the show actually got the timing right. I think they could go to New York together, but they're not going to last.
They're not going to last.
Trying to have a relationship that's not in Rosewood, that's, like, out in the world where they're both trying to be adults and find themselves. So it's funny. I think the show got the timing of that breakup correct But then, like, due to whatever, due to fan service, you know, wound up going a different way. But I think that Halo breaks up at a time that feels to me like pretty natural for them.
Okay. I'm gonna say, I mean, after Toby fakes his own death, you shouldn't come back from that. You really shouldn't.
Yeah, that is my answer. That is my answer too. Anyone out there listening, please, once your significant other fakes their own death, do not reconcile.
That's it.
That's like so far beyond a red flag. It's like
a chartreuse flag or something. Yeah. It's terrible. Let's see. Those are the main male couples. Yeah.
Those are the main male love interests. So yeah, I think that's I think that is just a great rundown of like when those relationships should have definitively and forever had the book upon them.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. Well, do we have more that we want to say about the Pretty Little Men?
I think we have said quite a lot about them tonight.
I think we have. And it's appropriate that next week we're going to be talking about antagonists of the series, because there's certainly a lot of overlap between the Pretty Little Men and many of the series antagonists, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
They are antagonists, and we feel antagonism towards them. So yes, it will segue very well.
It will. Well, I would love if our listeners have thoughts on this bracket. In fact, maybe I'll post a picture of it to our Instagram. And, you know, yeah, if you have thoughts on this bracket, if you have thoughts on the worst men of PLL, if you have someone's case that you want to plead, you know, okay, I'll hear it out. You can send us always an email at everybodyapodcast@gmail.com. You can check out our Instagram, everybodyapodcast. You can check out our Spotify, everybodyapodcast. And you can leave us a rating and review on iTunes. We would appreciate it. So fun always getting to do these bonus episodes.
100%. Can't wait till next week.
Absolutely. Till then.
Take care.